Okay, this week we have a doubleheader. Another doubleheader. Parashas Acharei Mois Kedoshim. And the Haftarah is? Halev Bnei Kushiyim. A very short Haftarah. Two very long parashas, but a very short Haftarah. You get it? Okay. Now, first thing, this very interesting is that Parashas Acharei Mois is the Kriyas HaTorah for Yom HaKippurim. So this week we get a very polite reminder that Yom HaKippurim is not so far away. you're laying the same exact thing with Yom HaKippurim, with the Avoda of Yom HaKippurim, and that obviously nothing is by coincidence. If Chazal has been worked out that we are to read about Yom HaKippurim at this time of the year, it is a reminder it's not that far away and we should think about doing Teshuvah. Parshas Kedoshim, it says in the Medrash, contains the Aseres HaDibros. Each one of the Aseres HaDibros can be found in Parashas Kedoshim. So I just make an observation. What then does Parashas Acharei Mois and Parashas Kedoshim have in common? They both capture the theme of Kabbalah HaTorah. When did we receive the second Luchos, the Luchos which remain with us for all time, which have not been shattered, on Yom HaKippurim? Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom HaKippurim, and he brought down the Luchos, and Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael Yom HaKippurim. Okay, the Luchos Shinios is 120 days after the Shavasa B'Tamos. It's the Luchos Shinios. And what happened on, and what else do we have in Parshas Kedoshim? Parshas Kedoshim are the Aseres HaDibros. So it comes out that both of these parashios force us to reflect upon Matan Torah. Matan Torah Luchos Rishonos, when we first received the Aseres Dibros, and when we received the Luchos Shnios. So therefore, that's a very significant thing, a very significant parasha. We have both of these events coming together. Both the Luchos Rishonos, the Luchos Shnios, all sandwiched in one parasha. This is a wake-up call for us to be machshiv, the gift of Kabbalah HaTorah. Okay, now, let's start with a simple idea, nothing simple, but question is very, very popular question. Why is it that Pesukim begin Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe with parasha of the Avoid of Yom HaKippurim, and we go through a long parasha telling you all the details, the par and the sohir, the ketores, and the oila, and the seder hayom. And then finally, at the very, very end of going through the entire Avodah, it tells you, by the way, this is what you should do on Yom HaKippurim. Okay, v'hoyisul lechem l'chukas, you go through the entire parasha, and then in Perek Tes, Zayin Pasachov Tes, the very, very end, after two columns, v'hoyisul lechem l'chukas olam, b'chodesh ha-shvi'i be'esol l'chodesh te'anu es nafshay seichem, v'chom loch lo'isasu, v'ezroch, and it goes on to say, this is what you do. So don't you think, if you were writing, giving the test to write these psukim, don't you think that you would first mention the date that it shall be in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, on Yom HaKippurim, this is what you shall do. Aaron, Bezois, Yovai, Aaron, El HaKodesh, Par, and the Sohir, and the Garolois, and the Anan HaKetores, and the Oila, Oila Sa'om, the Shnei Tzmidim, the Musafim. Wouldn't it be more appropriate to begin with the calendar date and then instructing that this is what you should do? Why is it that we start off with the entire Seder Hayom of Yom HaKippurim, and then at the very end, a parenthetical note is, by the way, this, you know, when you do this? You do this on the 10th day of the month, and it's the 10th day of the 7th month. My high, what's going on? So there's a very famous answer from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is Medayik, that Aaron HaKohen was allowed to enter in the Kodesh HaKodashim any day of the year that he wanted. After the death of Aaron HaKohen, no one is ever, ever allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim other than Yom HaKippurim, when the Avodah is done, according to the details listed and presented here in this parasha. But Aaron HaKohen was an exception. He can go in any day of the year that he wants, as long as he does the Seder Avodah of Yom Kippurim exactly the way it is presented in the Pesukim. And that's why, according to the Gra, indeed, we do not make any mention of Yom Kippurim until the very, very end, because the pasuk here is addressing Aaron. Bizos Yavoi Aaron El HaKodesh. When will Aaron go into the Kodesh? Whenever he wants. In the summer, the winter, the fall, the spring. As long as he does A, B, C, D. He has these two korbanos and these two korbanos, v'chulu, does the entire procedure, he can do. And by the way, after the death of Aaron HaKohen, and even when Aaron HaKohen is alive, there is one day in the calendar when you must do this, no matter whether you like it or not, by the acting Kohen Gadol, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So according to the Gra's opinion, that this idea, this concept, that Aaron was allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh whenever he wanted, as long as he does the Seder Avodah, it makes perfectly logical sense why it says the idea of the 10th day of the month, of the 7th month, at the very, very end. But the first time Daik in Rashi, the Medikun Rashi in a few places, even right in the very, very, very beginning of Rashi, the Rashi disagrees with the Gra. And Rashi holds there's no such thing. Even Aaron HaKohen himself was not allowed to go into the Kodesh other than on Yom Kippurim.
He
likes to go. He wants Kirvas Elokim Kitoif. He wants to be close to Hashem. The Shekhinah is resting in the Kodesh HaKodashim. He wants a recharge, a spiritual recharge. It's the middle of the winter. It's gloomy outside. It's raining outside. You need a spiritual recharge. So you want to go into Kodesh HaKodashim. So you can do so as long as you bring these korbanos. Okay, so it appears though that Rashi disagrees with the Vilna Gaon. Rashi in a few places. If you go look over here, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel Bezos Yavoi Bezos Aaron Af Zo Lo B'Chol Eis. Rashi writes explicitly, even with regard to Aaron HaKohen, Loi B'Chol Eis Ki Im B'Yoyim HaKippurim K'Moshe Mefurish B'Soiv HaParish, like it says at the end of the parish. So Rashi explicitly disagrees with the parish of the Gra, with the Gra, on this matter.
When Rashi.
Okay, right, correct.
When Hashem talked to Moshe,
Ein Mukdam Mu'ochar, the Torah. Yeah.
When Hashem talked to Moshe, Me'al HaKapor, Me'al, the cover of the Aron, Me'al HaKapor. Right?
Yes.
Did Moshe go into the Kodesh Kedoshin, or he stood in the Kodesh?
Moshe was different. I don't know the answer. I don't know how it worked with Moshe, but Moshe was different. Okay, Moshe was different. I don't know.
Rashi,
I don't know the answer. Beferish. Okay, but even in Pasuk when it says Aaron, Aaron, lo b'chol eis ki im b'yom HaKippurim. Okay, so therefore we have over here a machlekes between the Gra and the Rashi. Now according to Rashi, the question is reinstated. So why then is it out of order? You would assume that Derech HaTorah is the first to tell you the calendar date, and on this particular calendar date, this is the proper procedure. This is what should be done. So I think Rav Moshe says a very, 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 very profound, simple vart. It says, the point is, you have to remember, don't make a mistake and think that Yom HaKippurim is one day a year. Sometimes you get into a frame of mind is, listen, right now it's the winter, right now it's the summer, I can do whatever I want. When it comes Chodesh Elul, that is when you have to start to prepare for the Yomim Noraim. That's the wrong attitude. Yom HaKippurim is every day a year. Bezos Yavai Aaron El HaKodesh Aaron, the one that is entrusted with the Mechaper for the Chatan of Klai Yisrael, like going to the Kodesh HaKadosh, he has to be in a state of readiness every single day of the year, as if today he's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. It just so happens that, practically speaking, the day that he enters is, by the way, is on the 10th day of the 7th month. But your frame of mind, your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be such that you're ready on a moment's notice to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in a state of sanctity and Kedusha. That's where Moshe says, according to Rashi, it still has to be particularly in this order, and that's the most haskell for every single person on their level. The person should not have an attitude that there are days in the year when I am in a spiritual high, and there are days in the year where I can let my guard down and do whatever I want. That is incorrect.
Okay, it says also, I mean, when we say the Karbonis, in davening, it's like your makriv, the kibbutz. We say Yom Kippur every day. We say
no, we don't say Yom Kippur every day. We don't say Yom Kippur. We don't say. We say we don't say Yom Kippur.
Par v'soya zehu makamim par v'soya Yom
Kippur. Par v'soya okay, you're right. So we do say. Okay, we mention it. Okay, all right. Okay, okay, you're right. Okay, okay. Okay. Enochanami. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I read Rabbi Shaffin gave a speech 50 years ago, and he wondered, why do we put the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur at the Siddur? Everyone has a mosque, right?
Yeah.
He said he hopes when you flip through the Siddur...
Ah, it should make an impression upon you. Okay, very nice. It'll remind you of Yom Kippur. Okay, this is the parable. Okay, let's go. Okay, no, this is the Ha'ara. Ha'ara is the Ha'ara when he goes in the Kodesh HaKadosh, he only wears the four garments. He does not wear the big day Zav. Rashi says, why doesn't he not wear the big day Zav? Ein kategar nasa sanegar, being that gold was used by to make the ekel, so it's not proper that gold should appear when we're coming to Chafa Klal Yisrael. Now, so what does he wear? He wears the four garments. Now, even among the four garments, one of the garments of the Kohen Gadol is not the same as the garment of the Kohen Hayyid. And which one is that?
Gartel.
The mitznefes. No, that's also a very good point. The gartel, also the belt as well. Okay, the belt as well. So what is the what does the pasuk say? What is the pasuk says about wearing the clothing? Bezos yavai Aaron el HaKodesh. Now the gartel, the belt is machlokes. Machlokes in the Gemara, if the belt was of the Kohen Gadol was shatnes or not, of the Kohen Hayyid was shatnes or not. But bezos yavai, let's assume that it was the same. Bezos yavai Aaron el HaKodesh, beparim kol hachadol, gesoynes bat kodesh yilbosh, umlichnesei vad yu al besar, uva'ave bat. So the Kohen Gadol is only bat, it's linen. Yachkar, uva mitznefes bat yitznef, bidei kodesh heim, v'rachatz maim, etzisar elevesham. I'm just making an observation. The hat of the Kohen Gadol is not the same hat as the Kohen Hayyid. Why? Because the hat of the Kohen Gadol has to also accommodate the tzitz. And once they're accommodating the tzitz, you also have to accommodate a place for the tefillin. So it was a different type of hat. Question is, when the Kohen Gadol entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim wearing his hat, which hat did he wear? We assume that the Kohen Gadol, he walked in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the same garments of the Kohen Hayyid, the Big Day Dalet, four garments. But the Pasuk still continues to use the same term for a hat that it uses when describing the Kohen Gadol. The hat of the Kohen Hayyid is the Migbos. The hat of the Kohen Gadol is the Mitznefes. Yet it says here explicitly that the hat that's worn by the Kohen Gadol is the mitznefes, doesn't use the term the migbos. So that appears to teach us an idea is that even when a person dresses as a common man, as a commoner, Kohen Gadol, he goes to Kodesh HaKadosh and is dressing like an ordinary citizen. Okay, he's going in plain clothes policeman. No, you're wearing, they can't detect who they are. It's not true. Even when you're dressing like a regular kohen, there's still a difference. You cannot forget who you are. You are the Kohen Gadol. And because you are the Kohen Gadol, that is always represented in your hat, in your chazal. In time of chazal, your distinction was displayed in the type of hat that you wore. The Gemara says that only Talmidei Chachamim were permitted to wear a sadin. They wore a special type of turban, a special type of hat that they wore. And if you were not, what we call a yarmulke, wearing a kippah, wearing a head covering, even that's also something which is, it was now with everyone who wears. Now it's halacha, you have to wear it, you have to cover your head, make a bracha. But in the time of Chazal, it was not necessarily so. You don't necessarily, every single person to cover their head, only when you make a bracha, and even then, the different opinions exactly when you cover your head. It represents who you are. And the Musar Haskel is, a person can eat, you can never hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. Just because the Kohen Gadol now is acting as an ordinary person, it's putting on a clothing of humility, I'm just like any other person, it's just, I'm the Kohen Gadol, so I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No! You cannot hide from who you truly are and who you should be. You are the Kohen Gadol, you're going to wear a big day lavan, but the hat of the Kohen Gadol will always be the hat of the Kohen Gadol, the Mitznefes, just because it's Bigdei Lavan, it's not going to be the hat of the Migbos. Once a Kohen Gadol, always a Kohen Gadol, no matter where you are, whether you're at home, whether you're in the street, whether you're in the shul, you're a Kohen Gadol. Just because you take off your Bigdei Zahav, you're still a Kohen Gadol. You can't deny that, and that is always expressed in the type of head covering. Yeah.
Skan Kohen, yeah, so substitute.
Yes, yes. Once a Kohen Gadol, always a Kohen Gadol. If he did private avodah, I believe so. I think that once you acted one day as a Kohen Gadol, so even if you did private avodah, you wore the bigger shemayna. I believe so. Yes. Oh, that's a sign halacha. Okay, let's go to an idea. So this idea is a very nice idea. When the Kohen Gadol goes to the Kodesh HaKadosh to be mocked there, the Ketores, and to sprinkle the blood of the par and the soyer, it says no one is allowed to be in there with him. I think in this generation we can appreciate this much more than in the past, because today there are no secrets. Today we assume that the Chinese know every single thing that's going on in the Oval Office, just like the President of the United States knows every single thing that's going on in every embassy in the world. There is spy satellites, and someone is always watching. We know today, they tell us that every telephone call is recorded, everything you type on the computer is recorded.
And there's
what? The only difference is no one is listening. That's the only. It's recorded. It's the last thing someone's going to go and listen to. But the pasuk says the chol adam. It's a very fascinating thing that in time of the Torah makes a demand and says the chol adam lo yeh be'oyel moed. No man is allowed to be in the oil mo when Aaron HaKohen enters to bring kapara for Klal Yisrael. Let me see if I can find the pasuk over here. V'chol Adam. Pasuk Yud Tezayin. V'chol Adam lo yiyeh be'oyel moyeh. Bivo'o lichaper ba'kodesh ad seiso v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beiso v'ad kol kahal Yisrael. Chazal make a drosh of v'chol Adam. What's v'chol coming to be marbe? Even malachim. Even angels, whatever it is, no one is allowed to be there. It has to be done in the utmost secrecy, utmost privacy. Why is this so? Why can't we have video hookup, a webcam, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Everyone on the screen can see exactly what the Kohen Gadol is doing. What is he already doing? He's being makti the Ketores. He's sprinkling the blood. 8 times 7 lamata, 1 lamala, v'chulu. What's the big deal? Why can't we have observers to see, to make sure everything is going according to plan? So again, we really appreciate this in today's day and age, because today in day and age, there are no secrets. Okay, today there's technology basically where, I mean, this is going to be a very big problem when Mashiach comes. This is going to be a very big problem when Mashiach comes. How are they going to turn off the satellites and all of this technology to make sure that no one can know what in the world is going on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when he is doing the Avodah? Well, there was a person that dug a tunnel, it says. There was a person who dug a tunnel and he watched from the tunnel, from a little hole in the tunnel, to see what the Kohen Gadol did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Torah is very diminutive. You don't have this anywhere in the Torah, anywhere at all, where the Torah says, I want this to be done in the utmost secrecy. The Chol Adam, the Chol is a ribui. Even a malach is not allowed to know what's going on inside.
The camera can be in there.
Maybe if the Torah is being marred by a malach, maybe it's also a lachas kam v'kam, a camera, or some type of listening device. There's no question that it's not in the spirit of halacha that there should be any electronical monitoring device in the Kodesh HaKadosh. The Torah says, V'chol Adam lo yiyeh be'oil moed, and Chazal Darshan, even a malach, it's poshut that the Spirit of the Lord demands that it be done in the utmost secrecy. Show me somewhere else in Tanakh where there's a mitzvah or there is an event that Torah is so makbid should be done in utmost secrecy, and here the whole Klal Yisrael's existence is on the line. If the Kohen Gadol does not succeed in bringing atonement for Klal Yisrael, who knows what's going to be? This is the atonement of the Chet HaEgel, the Meraglin, the Chet Mechiras Yosef. Every single year there's an additional layer of kapar that comes to Klal Yisrael. The Chiver Ba'adoi, Uva'ad Beisoi, Uva'ad Kol Kahal Yisrael, And let's say today there's over 15 million Jews in the world, and when the Kohen Gadol goes and does his thing, he brings the Ketores, he sprinkles the blood of the Dam of the Par, the Dam of the Chatos, for a total of 16 times, and when he goes in later to take out the Kaf and the Machta, no one's allowed to know what in the world is going on. Why not? What's the problem? So I saw in a safe, I don't know exactly what it says, but this is the idea that inspired, what I saw that inspired me to say the following Yisoid, could be I saw everything there, I don't remember, and that is, Hashem here says, let's look at Kapar. We go through Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is over. Well, let's say you daven a Shemona Esrei, you daven a long Shemona Esrei, and you are sincere, and you clap, Slach lonu avinu ki chotonu, v'chal lonu malkinu ki fashonu, ki moichal v'slech otah. You finish your Shemona Esrei. What should your attitude be? I did mine. I am sincere in my teshuva, in my remorse. I'm never going to do it again. And you, Hashem, you know my heart. You can test me. You know I'll never do it again. And therefore, Hashem, I trust you. I trust you that you will do your part and you will forgive me. Hashem says, "V'nislach l'chol adas v'neishol ki l'chol am bishkaga." We find throughout Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "If you do tshuva, I forgive you, and if I forgive you, I'm not going to punish you. There will be no divine retribution for your sins." When we do tshuva, the most important ingredient of doing tshuva is we trust Hashem. You have to have faith in Hashem that He will forgive us. And He will not punish us for our sins. If you don't trust Hashem, then you're doomed. Why bother doing tshuva? I did an avera. There's going to be punishment. There's going to be retribution. There's going to be an accounting for what has been done. We have to trust Hashem. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, let me tell you something about trust. Before you come to trust me, or the foundation of trusting the Ribbono Shel Olam is trust your fellow man. If you don't trust your fellow man, then don't bother trusting me. This world has to be built on a foundation where one man trusts, has emuna in his fellow man. When the Kohen Gadol goes in there, who knows what he's doing there? He can be twiddling his thumbs. Who says he takes the blood and he sprinkles achas lamala, sheva lamata? Who says he does it the right way, in the right order? Who says he does the ketores the way he's supposed to do the ketores? There are a lot of things. If you don't follow the proper procedure, there's no kapara. It has to be done with precision in order for there to be kapara. It has to be between the bad and between the kodesh, and the kodesh between the... There are many details. How do we know? 15 million people today are waiting to know, is the Kohen Gadol going to do the shlichus? We are sending you into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to atone for our sins. Our lives are on the line. Our children. Maybe he does. Maybe we don't know what happens. But that's not the issue. Whether he does it right, does it wrong, or how Hashem's striking down. Maybe Hashem is testing us. Hashem's not going to punish him right away. Maybe he'll die 10 years from now. We don't know how these things work. The bottom line is, it's Yom HaKippurim. Every person has a peckle of averos. They're afraid of divine retribution. They're afraid for themselves, for their family, for their children, for all their future descendants. They need Hashem's help. They need Hashem to forgive them. They're here. They're sending an agent to do be their messenger. So, you know, today we live in a world where the key word is transparency. Okay, that's the key. That's the key word today in this generation. Everything has to be transparent. Every time you have a new political candidate in politics, for public office, my administration is going to be transparency. There's not going to be any secrets. There's not going to be any shtick. That's the name of the game. All the schools, everything is transparent. But so you don't have to trust me. The facts speak for themselves. Hashem says, no, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I don't want there to be transparency. I don't want that. I don't want there to be webcams. I don't want there to be an audience. I don't want there to be witnesses, observers from the UN and from who knows where to come and watch what's going on. I want there to be trust. He is your representative. 15 million people have authorized him to be the representative. I want you to trust him. If you can place your trust in a human being, that's then you can put your faith in me that I will also forgive you. But if man lacks the ability to have trust in another human being, then you know something, don't bother me. Don't bother me with asking me for mechila. I'm not gonna be involved with you. Hashem is demanding in this opportunity that he brings forgiveness to Klal Yisrael, that we trust him, that we also put our faith in another human being. It's a very powerful principle when it comes to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the Chazal say, Hashem is not mechaper until on a chaybin adam lechaver, until yemefayis yechaver. Hashem wants there to be forgiveness and there to be unity between man and his fellow man. And the only way there can be actus among human beings is that there's trust between human beings. This is the foundation of Selicha u'mechila. V'chol adam lo yiye ba'oil moed. Trust him. If you trust him, then you can trust me also. I will do my part and I will bring mechila for you. You know, there's a very strange from the other way around. From the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim says in his lifetime, toward the end of his life, there was the Great Depression. And the Chavetz Chaim says, why did it happen that there is the Great Depression? And he said, because the economy is all built on trust. The whole economy is, you go to the bank, lend me $1 million, I can invest in real estate, I can invest in this opportunity, this business, and I'll pay you back over time with interest. And the whole economy is built upon the principle of borrowing money. And the only reason why one institution will lend money to another individual or institution is because you trust them. You trust them. I will lend you $1 million because I trust that you will be responsible, you will do the right thing, you will make a profit, and you will pay me back. There has to be trust. The economy is built, the aleph base of the economy is built on man trusting man. So the Chavetz Chaim said that in his lifetime he witnessed firsthand how man has failed to trust Hashem. When he was a young man, he says people had emun in Hashem. They had faith in Hashem. I trust Hashem. I don't understand why this happened to me, but I trust it happened for my good. Gam zu l'tayva. Why did this happen? Why this? I have faith in Hashem. And Chavetz Chaim writes that in his lifetime he saw that man's level of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gone down to a very significant low. As the Yeridus Hadaros in his lifetime was immense. Therefore, he said, Hashem is punishing man, midah keneged midah. You don't want to trust in me, I will take away your trust in your fellow man. You want to place your faith in man, and I put your faith in me, I'm going to take away from you your faith in man, and that is why the economy will collapse. When there's no longer faith between one man and another man, then no one's going to lend you money. I'm not going to lend you money, because who says you'll ever pay me back? So no one's going to lend money. No one's going to lend money. There's not going to be any growth. There's not going to be any growth. There's inflation. There's inflation. The whole world, the whole economy comes to a standstill, comes to an end. Then you go into a recession, into a depression. It's all based on faith. It was midah keneged midah. Here in this possible Yom Kippur, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. It's the same idea. Is the faith in man is totally in the faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem demands of us in Yom Kippurim as a way to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should get apart from him, is that we should put our faith in our fellow men. Okay, this idea needs a little more polishing.
Trusting man can kill you.
Too. What?
Trusting the wrong person can kill you.
Ain't no chinami. So obviously there has to be a balance when you can trust a person, obviously. But there is definitely, okay, this idea needs more polishing. Like I always tell you, I can't always have finished product for you, but there's definitely something here in this pasuk in Yom Kippurim. No man may be inside that involves faith, and Hashem is demanding faith in our fellow man before we can come to ask Hashem for forgiveness, which also involves the principle of having trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's talk briefly about the Indian of the Sohir La'azazel. We take a girl, the Kohen girl takes a girl, they're two Syrian, they are identical in size and color and in cost and value. And one is La Hashem, one is La Azaz. The one that goes La Hashem goes is brought is the blood is sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKodesh on the Pareches on the Mizbeach. And the one that's La Azazel is sent out by an Ish Iti to the desert and thrown off a cliff and dies. And the Sor La Hashem Chazal tell us is Mechaper Al Tumas Mikdash VeKodeshav. Just in case a person entered the Beis Hamikdash when he was Tamei, or a person, or the carbon was Tameh, the carbon was offered on the Mizbeach when the carbon was Tameh, so a sin has taken place. Tumah has been brought into the Beis HaMikdash, which is a very severe Avera, and the person thinks that he has achieved the Tomei, and really he has not, because it's Tomei, the purpose of bringing the Soyer LaHashem is to atone for any instance within the past year where a person or a karbon has come into the Mikdash in a state of Tomei. What is the purpose of the Soyer LaHazazel? It is for all other Averos. Every time you mishachet with the minion, every time you ate by mistake non-kosher food, every time you by mistake turned on the switch on the Shabbos, any other aver that you possibly could have done is going to be atoned through the Soher La'azaz. So that's the Pshut HaShomek. I want to say a little bit of a Jewish, and the Jewish really is based upon two ideas. Number one, the very famous Ibn Ezra, and number two, a Marim Makom from Rabbi Matis Blum in his Sefer Torah Lodas. Okay, Torah Lodas. We have over here in Parshas Achrei Mos, in regard to the Azazel, there's a very popular Ibn Ezra, and he comes to explain what is the significance of the Azazel. Ibn Ezra is found on which Pasuk is it? It's Pasuk Ches, I think, in Pasuk Ches, and he writes here as follows. I'll read you the words. The im yecholes lohavin hasoid shuhu achar milas azazel. If you want to understand the secret of that is found after the word azazel, I don't even know what that means. Teda sodo, you will know its secret. The sod shemo, and the secret of its name. Ki yesh lechaverim bamigra, it has many friends in Chumash, in Tanakh, in Pesukim. V'ani, the Ibn Ezra says, agal l'cha k'tzas hasoid. B'remes, I will reveal to you just a small amount of the secret through a hint. B'hiyoyscha ben shloishim v'sholosh, when you will be 33, te do'enu, then you will know it. These words here don't make any sense. These words here are extremely obscure. They don't flow grammatically. They don't link one into the other. I don't know. I have no clue what I just read to you. And not only me. Okay, I take out any other mafarshim. Even over here, there's a parish called the Avi Ezer. It's a parish on Ibn Ezra. He also doesn't know what in the world this means. He has a couple of suggestions. The suggestions are even more difficult than what Ibn Ezra says as well. Okay, it's a very, very big mystery. The Ibn Ezra basically is saying over here is that when you'll be 33, or something to do with the number 33, something related to the number 33 reveals the secret behind the idea, the purpose of taking a soher and throwing it off a cliff in order to atone for the sins of Klal Yisrael. What in the world does this mean? So some want to say 33, it's Sun Lag B'Omer. Okay, some want to say 33 ties into Bilam. Bilam was 33 years old when he died. He was cursed. Lo yechetsu yimehem. So the one parish which is very popular, which is 33 psukim. 33 psukim from this pasuk of pasuk ches. So here's pasuk ches with 33 psukim ahead is the sugi of shchut echutz, where it says that you're not allowed to send. Pasuk puts apparently here Zion Pasuk Hey is 33 psukim forward. Pasuk Zion, yeah, Pasuk Zion, you're right. Pasuk Zion, Parperik Yud Zion Pasuk Zion is exactly 33 psukim ahead. The Lo Yizbichu Oid Ezivchehem Lasiirim Asherhem Zaynim Acharehem. You shall no longer offer sacrifices to the gods. Lasiir means to the demons. So, obviously, taking a soyer laAzazel, you're giving a gift to the Sitra Acha. I don't know what that means. Okay, it's a very nice, it's 33 psukim ahead. It deals with the Seirim, which here in this context means the demons. So we always like to give the Satan a little gift so he should not bother us. Mayim Achroinim is part of that concept. The Arla, we dip in sand. All different types of things in Halacha where you want to bribe the Satan by giving him a little piece of the pie, and he will leave us alone. Okay, fine. Very nice. I don't know what that means. Let me just tell you an idea that I have extracted from Rabbi Matthias Blum in his Sefer Torah Ladas, and he makes a very nice connection to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu in Parshas.
That's who the
other 33 are. Right. Yaakov Avinu, so you're with. So what does it mean there? Yaakov Avinu, when he comes down to Mitzrayim in Parshas Ayigash, he appears before Paro through Yosef. Yosef presents his father to Paro, and Paro asks him, how old are you? You look like an old man. So he says, I'm 130 years old, and my lifespan, my life experience was me'at viroin. Leyesigu, and has not reached the good years of my father, Yaakov Avinu. So, of Yitzhak. Yitzhak, and how old was Yaakov when Yaakov Avinu died? He was 147 years old. How old was Yitzhak was 180 years old. Yaakov was 180. How old was Yaakov when he died? 147. What's there? Was 33 years. So Chazal tells us that Yaakov was really meant to live an additional 33 years. Why did he die prematurely? As a punishment for saying to Paro that my life is ma'at viroin. My days are small and evil. V'lo yisigu, the quality of my life did not reach the quality of my forefathers. Chazal strongly criticized Yaakov Avinu for saying such harsh words. How can you say that? But what Hashem gave you, Hashem spared you from Lavan, Hashem spared you from Esav, Hashem gave you Parnasa, Hashem gave you four wives, and 12 children. It's pretty good, okay? So you did it. When everything is said and done, Yaakov Avinu did exceptionally well. Exceptionally well compared to anyone else in existence. So how dare you say about your life, Ma'at Viroim V'lo Hisigu Hayu Yimei Shnei Chayei Chayei V'lo Hisigu Esh Yimei Shnei Chayei Avosai Bimei Migrim, because you're Kofri Toiv. Hashem says, let's count the words in these two psukim. Let's count the words. There are 33 words, and therefore I'm going to diminish from your life 33 years of your life. Pretty shocking. Maim Chazal, 33. Okay, now, So now let's go to Avar. Let's go to Parshas Kisavu, the Teichacha. Says the Teichacha, at the end of the Teichacha, why is it that Hashem brings upon Rachman the son upon Klal Yisrael the Teichacha? It concludes Tachas Asher Lo Yavadata as Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha Uvituv Levav Meiroiv Kol. This is a very powerful pasuk. The reason all comes down to complaining. People have a tendency, it's never enough. No matter what you have, I want more. And whatever you're missing is a source to complain, to be bitter, to forget and ignore all of the baracha that Hashem has given you, and not to enjoy, to serve Hashem b'simcha uvituv levav meiroiv kol. Now there's a drush on this pasuk, which takes the two last words, meiroiv kol, and notes that there are two Ishei HaTanach that use these words one next to each other, and they are Yaakov and Esav. Esav, when Yaakov Avinu said to Esav, let me give you a gift, Esav says, my brother Yaakov, I don't need your gift. Yesh li rav. I also have a rabbi. Yesh li rav. I have an abundance. I have many things. I don't need you to give me a gift. Yesh li rav. Yaakov Avinu, when he responded, when Esav wanted to help me, he says, Yesh li koil, I have everything I need. So Chazal have noted how a person, the difference between Yaakov and Esav, how they appreciate life. Yaakov Avinu says, I have everything. What do you mean I have everything? You don't have everything. You can't possibly have everything. That's all a matter of attitude. Everything that I need, I have. And therefore, my attitude in life is Yesh li koil. Esav, the attitude of a non-Jew is, it's never enough. Misha yesh lo imone, reitze mosayim. You never have, I have a lot, I have rough, but there's more, I'm never ever satisfied. Teicha says, what is the reason why a person does not serve Hashem b'simcha uvituv levav? You know why? It's because you've exchanged the coil for the rough. Tachas, asher lo yavadata, es Hashem elokecha, b'simcha v'tuv levav. Why? Because you're a person that's meroiv. Because your attitude in life is roiv. I have a lot, but I don't have everything. There's more. There's more to have. There's more to gain. When you should be a ben, Yaakov Avinu, who would say, Yesh li koil, meroiv koil. This is the makar of why a person is not satisfied and why he's not happy. More, 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 more. This is the end of the Teicha, fataychin, the essence of where a person's lack of Simchas HaChaim comes from. Now, Now let's go back to the Sor LaZazel. Yaakov Avinu was guilty of this very message. When Yaakov Avinu, when he was presented in front of Paro, Paro asked him, "How old are you? What did he say?" He says, "It could be better. It could be better." Me'at viroim hayu yimei shnei chayai v'lo hisigu. I did not attain the goodness as yimei shnei chayei avoisai yimei migureihem. In other words, what did Yaakov Avinu really say? Yaakov Avinu really said, "Yeshli rov." Later, well, really before, they say Yeshli kol before, but at the end of his life, he made a mistake. He made a mistake by saying to Paro, "Yeshli rov." It could have been better, instead of saying Yeshli kol. And because of this critical, fatal mistake, it cost him 33 years of his life. The Ibn Ezra says, what is the essence of the Sohir La'azazel? There are two Seirim. One Sohir goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's Mechaper on... It represents spirituality. In all the good things that we do, we make mistakes. You enjoy a good Shabbos, so sometimes Shabbos, due to your enjoyment of Shabbos, you make a mistake, you Mechal Shabbos B'Shagig. So you need a Kapara. But there's another sin that needs to be atoned for every single Yom HaKippurim, and that is the sin of complaining. That is the sin of Tachas Asher Lo'avadito Es Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha U'B'Tuv Le'Evov Me'Roiv Kol. That needs Kapara. That complaining is you saying to Hashem, "You could have given me more. What you gave me in life is a desert. It's Azazel. It's a wasteland." You need to send the sawyer to the desert as an atonement. It's symbolic. Is how dare you? How can you dare go say about your life, complain about your life, that Hashem only gave you rough? He gave me a lot of things, but didn't give me everything. How can you complain about what Hashem did not give you? The midbar represents what Hashem did not give you. You need to send an animal, you need to send a carbon into that location to be mechaper for the Azazel, for your attitude and your complaint that Hashem did not give me everything that I want. That attitude is a sin, and for that you need a Sohir LaAzazel, and the Ibn Ezra says to understand the secret, it's all hidden in the number 33. Where is there the number 33? Yaakov Avinu. Me'at viroim v'lo yisigu, because exactly what Yaakov Avinu says, there are things you didn't give me. There's an azazel in my life. Part of my life is a desert. That is what you need atonement for. Yeah. Okay. So let's go now to another avart. Let's talk a little bit about Parashas Kedoshim. Parashas Kedoshim begins Kedoshim to you ki Kedosh ani Hashem Elokeicha. There's a famous machlokes in Rashi. Rashi and the Ramban, what is the essence, the meaning of Kiddusha? Rashi says the Kiddusha of Parshas Kiddushin is to be Purushim Me'arayis. Let me read the words. Daber Kiddushin to you, Heve Purushim Min Ho'arayis. Stay away. Or Min Ho'avera. Have a Yetzahara. It's convincing you, it's persuading you to do an Avera. Stand back. Show Gevura. Restraint. Koiveshes Yitzro. Shekol Mokom Shata Moitzi Geder Erva. Ata Moitzi Kiddusha. Any place we find protection from Arayos, from holding yourself back, from being Nichshol in a sin, we find Kiddusha. Isha Zona Vachalol Yikachu. Ani Hashem Mekadishche. Okay. So according to Rashi, the Taitz. Now, let's just make an observation. If you ask the average person, what is Kiddusha? What will they tell you? Kiddusha is to do something positive. And the proof to this principle is the nusach of every single bracha. Baruch ato Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam, asher, kiddushanu b'mitzvah savitzivanu al netilas yodayim. Washing my hands is going to sanctify me. It's not a matter of removing, of staying away, taking a lulav. Asher, kiddushanu b'mitzvah savitzivanu al netilas lulav. L'shmaya kol shofar. Every time you do a mitzvah, you are bringing upon yourself sanctity. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah yisaf. Doing an action, doing something positive, enhances, increases sanctity. Rashi here in the beginning of Parashas Kedoshim is mechadish, that there's another type of kedusha. And this Kedusha does not involve doing something positive. It involves not doing an Avera. If you are presented with a Nisayon, a test, with a dilemma on this test, should I do an Avera, and you restrain yourself, that's a different type of Kedusha. That's a whole different world. So far we have two types of Kedusha. And then we have the Ramban. The first Ramban in this parasha, he says he disagrees with Rashi, and he says Kedusha does not necessarily mean to restrain yourself from doing an Avera. It means Kadesh Atzmoy Bimutor Loch. There are things that are permitted. You're allowed to eat. You have to eat in order to survive. But just because you're allowed to eat, don't be a glutton. Don't be a Baltaiva. Exercise restraint. When you eat, maybe eat a little bit less to show that you're in control. Maybe during the weekday you should not eat the most expensive meat. You should save the most expensive meat for Shabbos. If you want to eat the most expensive, the best meat on a Monday afternoon, that's fine. It's mutar lechatchila. But the Torah is telling you, I want you to sanctify yourself even in matters that are technically permitted. There has to be, you have to go lifnim yeshura sadin. Kadesh atzmai, even in matters b'mutar loch. So it comes out, sach hakol, I want to make the following observation. There are really three types of Kedusha. There is the standard Kedusha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysaf. Then there's the second Kedusha, the Kedusha of Rashi. Kedusha, when you withhold, when you refrain from doing an Avera. And then there's the third Kedusha of the Ramban, Kadesh Atzmai B'motoloch. So I want to suggest, that's why Yeshaya, when he saw the Markova, the Kisya Kovod, he said, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvokos, that was Yeshaya. Yecheskel said, Baruch Kvoit. Yecheskel did not say, Kadosh, Kadosh. Yeshaya said, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, 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 three times. Three, it's not super holy. We learned today in Yecheskel, Avo, 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 the Mesudos, it's just repetition for emphasis, the purpose of emphasis. So Kadosh, 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 what is it, just repetition? Super duper holy? No, it's there are three different types of Kedusha. There's the Kedusha, Kedushan B'mitzvah, the second Kedusha is to refrain from doing an Avera, and the third Kedusha is Kadesh Atzmai B'mudloch. Now you'll say to me, you have no right to make more Kedushas than there are, because in the Nusach HaTfila, we translate the Targum, actually tells you what the three types of Kedusha are. In Uvol Tzion, the first Kedusha is Kedusha in Shamayim, Kadish B'shmei Miroima, in heaven. The second Kedusha is Ovad Givurte. There is Kedusha on this earth, which is the product of Hashem's labor. And then there is Kedusha in Zman, Le'olam Ule'olmei Olmaya. In the Nusach HaTfilin of Olitzin, we translate what they are, U'mekablein Dein Mindein, the Amrin Kadish Bishmei Meroima, Ilo'a Beishechinti in Shamayim. Number two, Kadish Al-Ara on the earth, Ovad Givurte. Number three, Kadish Le'olam Ule'olmei Olmaya in Zman. So I want to say is, Enochnami, these two things, they parallel one another. The Kedusha, the standard Kedusha of Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah, when you do a Maisa, you are bringing Kedusha, that corresponds to the Kedusha in Shamayim. In Shamayim is a place of pure holiness. There's no Gashmias in Shamayim. Shamayim, there's no eating, there's no drinking, it's a place of Kula Kodesh. The earth represents restraint from doing an Avera. How do I know this? So first of all, the words of the Targum himself says that this world is called, what is this world called? It's called Alara, the earth, Ovad, the product, Givurte, of Hashem's might. What is a Gibor in Chazal's terms, in Chazal's understanding? Koyvesh es Yitzra. This entire world was created with the Koyach of restraint. The world was created through the Shem Shakai, which means Sha'omar le'oilomoy dai, which has many different interpretations. But basically, I mean, Hashem in this world, the Hanog is Hashem holds back. Hashem does not punish immediately, and Hashem does not reward immediately. When Hashem created the world, die, Hashem wants us to find Him. Hashem did not make the world a place where it's obvious to see the Yad Hashem. Hashem wants us to discover His hiddenness. The world is a place of restraint. That is exactly what it means, the Kedusha of Rashi. Kol mokam sha'atei motzei geder erva, whenever you restrain yourself, L'shem Shamayim, this is a Kedusha. That's the Kedusha Ba'ara. The third kedusha le'olam ulyolmei olmayor represents kadesh atzmoy b'mutar loch. Hashem gave every man zman, time. Hashem put a person in this world for a certain amount of time, and you can do with that time whatever you want. This is America. Anyone can be the president. You can do in this world whatever you want. Whatever you want, it's your zman. You're here for 120 years, do with it whatever you want. You want to sit in kollel the whole day? Gezunt to hate. You want to be in business? Gezunt to hate. You want to be a fireman? Gezunt to hate. Kadesh atzmai b'mutar loch. However you want to make use of the time you have in this world, just see to it that you sanctify that time. That time is all part of the big, the ultimate purpose of sanctifying Hashem's name in one way or another. So it really turns out that this three kedushas, the trial, the yisoid of parashas kedoshim, kedoshim tiyu, ki kedosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, there are three types of kedusha. Kiddushah b'mitzvosaf, to restrain from doing averos, refrain from doing averos. And the third kedusha of the Ramban, kadesh atzma b'mutuloch, is the kadosh, kadosh, kadosh that we say every day in Davin, the Kisei HaKavod, and it corresponds exactly what it says to the Targum. The kedusha in Shemayim is kiddushah b'mitzvosaf, the pure essence of kedusha. The kedusha, you're in a world of nisyonos, a world of gashmis. Behave yourself, control yourself. That's Ovad Givurte, the product of Hashem's Givura. Akoimesh es Yitzra. And the third Kedusha, Kadesh Atzma bin Mutulach, you have things that you, under your control. It's not Mutter, it's not Osir, it's Parif. You can make with it whatever you want. That's the third type of Kedusha. Okay, let's go to another idea. And this idea is just a short idea. I want to make this from the beginning. It's interesting that this parasha begins and ends with death. It begins with the death of the Shnei Bnei Aaron. Acharei Mois, Shnei Bnei Aaron, Bikarvasam Lifnei Hashem Vayamusu. And then Moshe goes on to tell Aaron, watch out, Aaron, don't be like your children. Make sure that if you're ever going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bezois Yavi Aaron HaKodesh, only once a year, or Lefi Degroa, you can go whenever you want, but make sure you bring the Korbanos, you do the Avoid of Yom HaKippurim. The end of this week's reading, double header, Parashas Acharei Mois Kodeshim, is a very, to us, okay, nothing in the Torah is strange, but to us it's a very bizarre passage which we don't relate to. The Ish O Yisha Kiye Vohem Oiv O Yidoini. They have amongst them an ivory. What are these things? I don't even know what they are. You take a bone, you put it in your elbow, you close your elbow, and you do something in the cemetery, and you communicate with the dead. And the dead tell you what's going on in the other world, what's going to happen in this world, v'chulu v'chulu. Anyone that plays around with ov, o yidoini, whatever these things are, which I don't think today anyone knows what these things are, mos yamusu. This is punishable by death. Bo even yirgumu osam dimehem bam, and that's it. Yiskadal v'yiskadash ne'rabah. The parasha is over. Haloi davar. The parasha begins with death. Parasha ends with death. But the very different extremes of death. What do we mean? The first, the parasha begins with a person who comes in contact with death through extreme holiness. Nadav aviu. They gave up. They went al kiddush Hashem. They went into the kodesh hakodashim, the place where no man goes, in order to be close to Hashem, to bring an esh zara. You went too far. You went too far to come close to Hashem, and therefore you entered a world where you should not have gone to, and it came lead day misa. And then we have the extreme opposite: death through the koychos of tumah, the koychos of contamination. Oiv v'yidoini represents the ultimate form of defilement, where you are communicating with the dead, and there's such a degree of defilement, the Torah says, there has to be a punishment of death for this person. Everything else in the parasha represents life. How to live. You have to lecha kamecha, who to marry, who not to marry, all the relatives. It represents all of the mitzvahs. It represents how you achieve atonement so that you can continue living. From beginning of the parasha to the end of the parasha, it is sandwiched with life. This is the message of the parasha. Death, don't get involved with death. Not a death, either extreme. Person should not live a life that's gonna cause him to become to die because he's an extremist in holiness. Don't try to be a Malach Elokim. That's not what Hashem wants from you. Don't get involved with koichas of tum of death to the other degree of koichas atuma. Be normal. Be normal means live al kiddush Hashem. Everything in between the first pasuk and the last pasuk is all part of how to live al kiddush Hashem, and not to involve yourself in extremes of dying al kiddush Hashem. Okay, another short idea we have here in Parashat Kedoshim, the inyan of Orla. The Torah says the first 3 years fruit is forbidden. The fourth year of a person plants a new tree. In the fourth year, the new fruit is to be taken to Yerushalayim and eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim, just like you eat Maaser Sheni. Now, if you were writing the Torah, I believe you would stop right there. Right, Parashas Kedoshim. Parsha begins. This topic begins. A person plants a new tree. Shlishi v'chisol aretz ve'onetatem kol etz ma'achol. You plant a new tree. Varaltem or loso es pirio. The first 3 years you shall treat as forbidden the fruit, or you shall treat as forbidden. How long? Shalosh shanim yelochem arilim lo yachel. The first 3 years you shall treat the fruit of this new tree as forbidden. Uvashana harevius. In the fourth year you have to thank Hashem for the new tree. You take the fruit. Yel kol pirio kodesh shilu mahashem. It's holy. Now, I think you would stop right there. What would be in the fifth year? So the first 3 years is also. The fourth year you have to go to Yerushalayim. And what about the fifth year? Memeila it's mutter. Memeila it's mutter. Why then does the Torah have to write Pasuk Chaf Hei Uvashano HaChamishis, and in the fifth year Toichlu Es Pirio, eat its fruit. L'hoisif lochem tivu aso, and then Rashi says, I'm giving a bracha, don't think that since for 4 years I made your life difficult, so no, don't worry, now I'm going to give you a bracha, you'll have more than you can expect, you'll have everything will be good. Ani Hashem lochem. Mayhai, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? The answer is, the avoida of the fifth year is a greater avoida than the first 3 years and the fourth year. The first 3 years, the Torah tells you, I'm giving you a job. You know what the job is? I want you to fast. It's Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur. Don't eat. That's a big avodah. You got to get all worked out. You got to prepare. You got to practice. You got to wean yourself off coffee for a month in advance until you come to Yom Kippur. And then, this is the fourth year. Okay, then this is the fourth year. Okay, what is the fourth year? The fourth year is take the fruits and go to Yerushalayim, and you have to sing Hallel, and you have to join the Kohanim and the Levim. That's another avodah. That's a lot of hard work to be in a state of kedusha tahara in the walls of Yerushalayim and to eat the fruits mitach simcha mitach Hallel. That's also an avodah. And then they finished. Now comes the real battle. The real battle is, the Torah goes through the effort of telling you, Uvashana HaChamishis. What are you going to do in the fifth year? The fifth year, you can just, I've done my duty. Third 3 years, it was also. Fourth year, I said, Hallel. It's a bigger avoid to be normal. It's a bigger avoid to be Mekadesh Atzmoy B'mutolach. That in the fifth year, to take the fruits, and to make a bracha rishoyna, a bracha acharoyna, and to give the kohanim and the levim, and do all the mitzvahs tatluyos ba'aretz with your food, and to take the food and use the food as a tool in order to mekadesh shem shemayim, lohoisif lochem tuduoso ani Hashem elokeichem. The biggest avoida is not fasting. The biggest avoida is not sukkis and pesach and shavuos when you sing halal and you shake your lulav and you sit around the table on the seder. The biggest avodah is v'ashana hachamishis, when the Torah commands you, toichlu es tivuasa. Let's see now how you behave on a regular basis. After you've gone through the extremes of not touching the fruit and then eating the fruit mitach simcha, the biggest nisoyin is just to be normal, This is the test, and if you succeed, here is where you get the bracha. It says, L'hoisif lochem tivu aso. It doesn't say in the pasuk, you're going to get a bracha when you fast for 3 years. I don't touch the fruit. It's very tempting. Every day you pass the garden, delicious fruits. Torah says, off limits. So I get a bracha? Will the Ribbono Shel Olam give me a bracha? No, it's easy to be a parish. Next year, fourth year, I spent $2,000 to go first class to Eretz Yisrael, $5,000 to go to Eretz Yisrael, El Al, to go to the best hotel, to be in Yerushalayim, to eat the fruits, and we had a band, we had challah, the whole family. I'm going to get a bracha? No, big deal, no bracha. The big deal is you come back home, and let's see how you behave in the fifth year. That's where you get the bracha. Last vart. In this parasha, we have a unique mitzvah, a new pasuk. Doesn't appear any pasuk anywhere else. Beginning of Kedoshim, it says, Daber El Kol Adas. No, that's not the pasuk. The pasuk is, I don't even know where the pasuk is. I found the pasuk. The pasuk is, you'll find the pasuk when you review the parasha. Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Amarta Aleihem. Speak to the Jewish people and tell them, Ani Hashem Elokeicha. There's no such pasuk like this b'chol ha'Torah kula. Kimat, every single pasuk in the Torah, whenever it tells you, I am holy, there's always a catch. What's the catch? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Asher Asesichem Yeres Mitzrayim. I took you out of Egypt, you owe me one. Kimat, every time you find Hashem telling you, Ani Hashem Elokecha, it's always, B'li Yoytzei Min HaKlal, it's always connected to some instruction or some reminder, polite reminder, you better behave yourself, you better remember what I did for you, and therefore you should know. In this week's parasha, we have a pasuk that does not appear anywhere else, one of a kind, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu just says, it's like, it's just stam azay. I want you to know. Moshe Rabbeinu, can you imagine? He tells Klal Yisrael, there's a very important meeting. Everyone has to gather together. Moshe blows a shofar, the entire Klal Yisrael gathers, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he says, Rabbeisai, I have a message from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem says, just don't forget, Ani Hashem Elokeinu. That's it. Perek Chaf, yeah. Pasuk Chaf, Pasuk.
Pasuk Zayin, is that the Pasuk?
Pasuk, no, it's the way I quoted you, exactly the way I quoted it to you. Pasuk Zayin, no. There's a Pasuk, you can find it. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'amartem aleihem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's it. No, that's not the pasuk. That's the pasuk. Kedoshim to you. No, that's not the pasuk. Kedoshim to you. No, it's another pasuk. Maybe it's in parashat Achrimos. Maybe it's slash Achrimos. Oh, yeah, here it is. I got it. Pasuk Per Yuches. Achrimos. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lema. Daber Bnei Yisrael V'yomarto Alehem Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Zehu. Perek Yudches. Pasuk Beis. Zehu. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And the Mefarshim, they attribute to this pasuk major significance. There was once a Rosh Hashiva, he wants to give a clap on the bima, and he told the Olam, we were learning b'hasmod rabba, and he interrupted the limon, and he gave a clap on the bima, and he told the Talmidim, I want you to remember, there's Ribbono Shel Olam. Go back to learn. What do you mean? They're sitting and learning, they're steiging away 18 hours a day. Well, you don't think we don't know there's Ribbono Shel Olam? What are we doing here the whole day? That's right. Sometimes you can get all caught up in religion. All about, it's all about, you know, the shul, and it's all about you do this, the Eretz Yisrael, about this, about this, and you're all worked up, and there's only one thing that's missing. You know what's missing? The Ribbono Shel Olam. You got your head, you don't have your head on your shoulders. In the parish, all in this, why does it appear in this week's parish? Because there's no two parishes that have so many mitzvahs like these two parishes. Mishpatim also, there are three parishes that have a lot, but in this parish, we have a chunk full of mitzvahs. Arayos, all these mitzvahs, and so mitzvahs. It's a very nice religion. There are a lot of laws and mitzvahs. But in this week's parish, at least right in the middle of Achrimos, this section, Hashem said, I just want you to remember, don't get carried away with an abundance of laws and forget the ikur. The ikur is to remember there is Ani Hashem Elokecha. That is Shivisi, you see in the Omele, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomit. Forget about everything else. Forget about the Tayag Mitzvot. Forget about Davin. If you're aware of this Ribbono Shel Olam, you got already Yarim. If you don't have that basic idea, that all of the Arayos, all of the details, Lesikim, Lesitar, Orla, and Tumas Nidush, the Kadoshim, Yom Kippurim, it's all nonsense. Even Yom Kippurim, if you don't know, get the basics, Ani, Hashem, Elokecha, Parash, Achim, Kadoshim, is the return to the basics. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Amen.